This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In late September, President Trump nominated Christina Nolan to succeed Eric Miller as U.S. Attorney for Vermont. It was a bipartisan recommendation, receiving support from both Senator Patrick Leahy, a Democrat, and Governor Phil Scott, a Republican. The U.S. Senate approved the nomination, and Christina Nolan joins us now. Welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you for having me. Honored to be here.
So you've been in the job for almost 5 months now. What has surprised you most about this position?
That's a great question. If I have to be honest, I think it is so focused on getting people to work together. And I found that I enjoy doing that more than I thought I even might have. And so I guess, lately when I've been thinking about the job, what struck me is that I'm trying to unite people in common cause constantly. And people want to unite in common cause. And we agree on so much more. We agree on so many things. And there's so many things we can work together on. So I guess it struck me that I really enjoy doing it and maybe don't think I've done it too badly yet. So people let me know if that changes. But
yeah, I'm sure they will. Yep. You know, that's interesting to hear you say, though, because one of the things that I think about in your position is the tension between some of Vermont's state and municipal policies and some of the federal policies where they conflict either philosophically or in actual policy. And I'm wondering how you balance those competing priorities, because we can think about, for example, President Trump's stated desire to go after so-called sanctuary cities or sanctuary states, mm-hmm. And the federal prohibition on marijuana. And of course, Vermont will soon have legalized recreational marijuana. So how do you balance the state laws and state needs versus federal?
I mean, I think that's coming back to what I was saying about what I enjoy doing is trying to synthesize and get people to come together, even though around the edges there may be some things that we struggle with. And being a Vermonter, I think have a good sense of the state and its independence, its fierce independence, and the kind of people who live here. And I think that gives me some preparation to try to synthesize and balance some of what the tensions you're talking about. Yeah, in terms of the sanctuary city, it's Maine Justice, the Department of Justice, that's on the fact-finding mission to determine if there are issues under federal law in Vermont. That is something that, at least as the U.S. Attorney for Vermont, I've not been a part of that conversation. That's a Maine Justice fact-finding mission. On marijuana policy, that's still going to be illegal under federal law to use, distribute, traffic marijuana. And we're just going to have to figure out how we triage our federal resources when it comes to charging marijuana cases. And we'll always keep our eye on public safety and the need to combat violence and large-scale criminal organizations when we decide how to deploy our resources. But we're just going to have to see how it plays out and how we decide to proceed in our marijuana docket, such as it is going forward. I think the key is communication, though. I think I've had a great relationship in terms of communication with the state's attorneys, with the Commissioner of Public Safety, Tom Anderson, one of my predecessors, and T.J. Donovan, the Attorney General.
So when there is a directive from Attorney General Jeff Sessions, for example, and it differs with what the state policy is, how much leeway does a U.S. attorney have in determining your docket or determining how aggressively to pursue federal policy?
So I think we have a lot of leeway to determine how to deploy our limited resources in a way that makes sense in our state. So, there's a directive. The directive that comes to mind, the most sweeping directive, is to charge what happened unless there's good reasons to charge something less. And I think that does leave quite a lot of leeway for the 94 U.S. attorneys. I think there's 93 or 94 of us to make decisions based on the needs of our district. So I guess it's fair to say I think there's quite a degree of autonomy, and I've heard the Attorney General speak in person. He thinks that's important. He doesn't want us to be afraid to use our independence based on what's going on the ground. As you know, the opioid crisis, which you may have some questions about, is one of the top focuses for my office. And related to that, the related violence. So the opioids bring guns. They bring gun trafficking. They bring human trafficking, which is another terrible form of violence perpetrated often against young addicts. So those are some of the priorities that I've chosen to focus on. I think hopefully there's broad consensus we should be focusing on those in light of the autonomy we have.
So when you look at something like the opioid crisis and say this is a priority for me and for my office, beyond prosecution, what do you do? How do you say that this is a focus beyond just, you know, the cases that come across your desk?
Sure. So it's a great question, and I think it's an important one. Prosecution is important. So we have to try to reduce the supply of narcotics in the state. And I do believe that when you prosecute people, it cuts back on the supply. So we're always going to do that. And I suppose it's not the most interesting thing to talk about because it's always going to be our sort of our focus at the U.S. Attorney's Office is enforcement.
Although it is interesting because, again, to that question of, you know, what types of cases do you tackle and which do you prosecute and which do you say this is better for diversion, court diversion, or, you know, so it is certainly a central question. But
sure. Yeah. And let me tell you about, in addition to prosecuting, and I want to, a couple things that are important for me to stress is it's very important to us to have a presence in the entire state, not just Chittenden County. So it's very important to me that if there's a significant drug trafficking organization in Brattleboro, where I used to do a ton of cases as an AUSA, that we make the car drives, we send our federal agents down there, we work with the state and locals. And so having a presence outside of Chittenden County is very important to me. And also being out in front of organizing our collaborative efforts with our state and locals and federal partners. So I just want to say that in terms of enforcement, those are two principles. I want the U.S. Attorney's Office to be very proactive about those two principles. We have a federal drug court in Rutland. It's a post-plea, pre-sentencing court. So usually a low-level drug-addicted offender who nonetheless we felt we needed to prosecute because of issues of criminal record or whatever the case may be. They have the opportunity in the Rutland Federal Drug Court to plead guilty to the offense for which they're charged, but then under the oversight of the judge, try to work their way off of drugs. The Howard Center is involved in this too. We have an AUSA who's assigned.
It's an assistant.
Yes.
Attorney.
Yeah. I'm sorry. An assistant. Yeah. A federal prosecutor. The acronyms that you take on when you take on this position are, you know, it goes way beyond AUSA. but we're trying to stand up a similar drug court in Burlington so that people have a chance to get some consideration on their sentence with the judge overseeing their efforts to get a job, to be clean, with the Howard Center involved, defense attorney involved, and then my office involved. And we're trying to stand that up in Burlington, where I think there'll be a significant pool of potential defendants that would qualify. The other thing, if hopefully I'm not going on too long, but I would like to personally be involved, and I've started this already, in prevention efforts. I think we can, you know, we can't charge our way out of the problem. Everybody agrees with that. It's just a simple fact. Charging can help, but we need to do anything and everything we can to stop children from taking that first risk, whether it be a pill, whether it be snorting heroin, whatever it is that constitutes their first risk. And I think the U.S. attorney has a role to play in prevention efforts. I sit on the governor's opioid coordination council, another acronym, OCC, and I've got myself assigned to the prevention subcommittee. I've met with organizations like the Boys and Girls Club, the Burlington Prevention Coalition, and I'm working with some former defendants of mine who used to be in the throes of opioid addiction, have since recovered, and are interested in partnering with me to go to places like schools and community centers and try to send a message of, please don't take this risk. But if you do, there's hope, and don't live in the shadows, because here are these examples of hope that I initially met because they were defendants in my cases.
So you do see that role, even as a prosecutor, of coming in before there's any kind of sense of a problem and saying, you know, I, as somebody who stands up here as an official, I want to make sure that you're not taking this step.
I think it's law important. I think the U.S. attorney position in particular gives me a platform to do that in a way that I couldn't and wouldn't have been appropriate when I had a caseload. But I think the community needs to see law enforcement on the same page with the rest of the prevention community and urging kids not to take that first risk. But if they do, don't hide. We're here to help. And we want you not to live in the shadows with this. And not all kids have the same family support. So, yes, I do think it's important for the U.S. attorney to play a role in prevention efforts, and I'm trying hard to do that.
What's your relationship like with your colleagues or contemporaries across the border in Canada? Because, you know, as a border state, we certainly have legal issues that cross the border. You mentioned human trafficking. This is, of course, an issue at many border crossings. What kind of coordination do you have?
So I'm glad you asked that. Maybe it's because I told your producer I wanted to talk.
Gee,
about
I wonder.
It. Yeah, so those pre-interviews matter, I guess. I actually just went up to Canada, met with our law enforcement counterparts, the RCMP, SQ, which I'm going to forget what that stands for, but it's the Quebec, the province of Quebec law enforcement, Montreal Police, met with Crown prosecutors, CBSA, Canadian Border Security Agency, really is too many acronyms. And the reason I did it is because I think those partnerships are every bit as important as our partnerships in Northern New York, in New Hampshire, in Massachusetts, because crime knows no borders. And I'm particularly worried about, I have some worries about the northern border, which gets less attention, but it's 5,500 miles long if you include Alaska, and there are about 2,000 agents assigned to the border. We get the most apprehensions in the Swanton sector, which includes Vermont. And I'm particularly worried about the smuggling organizations, which are equal opportunity smugglers. They don't, you know, they'll traffic anyone across the border. That puts the smugglees at risk, but we also don't know who's coming into the country. Nobody's asking north of the border. So I think those partnerships are extremely important. I think the northern border might be a high-risk, low-volume situation. And so that's something I'm glad you asked about and something I'm very focused on.
More focused, do you think, than your predecessors? I mean, is this sort of a new priority for you?
I wouldn't say that because my predecessors were outstanding role models. And I know Eric Miller sat on the control. He might have, I think he chaired the controlled substances. He chaired a committee, a nationwide committee that thought about northern border issues. But I want to make sure that I, you know, that doesn't get lost in the focus, the appropriate focus on the opioid crisis.
That's Christina Nolan, U.S. Attorney for the District of Vermont. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.